This is a Wait Don't Do It podcast with your girl Nunu Paris and Raffy. Make sure to join us monthly at El Rey for Reggaeton Brunch. You can follow at Reggaeton Brunch DC for more details. We'll see you there, baby sotas. Mwah.
Oh my God, I can't have this in my apartment anymore.
What is it? What is it? Bring it closer.
I'm just now realizing. Oh, this can't be hung up proudly in my apartment anymore.
Really?
This is happening on the podcast. I just realized. Yeah, this, I guess, yeah. Bye, girl. Yeah.
End of an era.
Yeah.
You remember when
I was gifted a Nicki Minaj prayer candle? But yeah, I had to take down my Nicki Minaj prayer candle. It can no longer be displayed in my apartment. That would be embarrassing because she's now MAGA Minaj. And she kind of had that similar hair you have on your head right now.
Someone stole Raffy's Nicki Minaj patriotic America flag, which probably, you know, would have worked for her now, right?
Yeah, that would work.
Go back to selling those. I mean, I don't know what she's doing it for. I don't know what she's doing it for, but I trust.
Well, for those of you who don't know of the situation, I'd be surprised if you don't. But Nicki Minaj went on Make America Great Again Today Fest. And she spoke with the
Megachella Kirk.
And I don't even know what's worse. Literally being a Republican, then being a Republican that actually acknowledges Erica Kirk's feelings, or just actually going on a tangent about boys should be boys. I don't know what actually is worse. Maybe it's all three, all of the above.
And it's a time to be the Barbs, and I watch every day as they try to hold on, and I can't wait to see how it goes. Again,
because you were a Barb. You were a Barb, or you still are a Barb? Or you're a retired Barb?
I don't like to put labels. I like to put labels on myself like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're no longer a Barb. It's these silent Barbs
out here. What I can say is that over the holiday break, right, I definitely skipped all my Nicki Minaj music. I haven't listened to anything. So it's definitely taking a break and a step back from it. As we get into a new year, we're going to have to leave that drama behind too, because we are actually filming on New Year's Day. It is New Year's Day, and we're starting 2026 exactly how we mean to go on. Informed, opinionated, and just messy enough. Okay, from the DC bar drama and unpaid workers, clock it, the drag world headlines, billionaire Beyonce, a historic new mayor in New York City, and America's 250th birthday this year, we are about to break it all down. And the one thing we think it matters in 2026 is accountability. Every story ends with the same lesson. Wait, don't drop the ball. Let's get into the episode. It's your girl, Nunu Paris.
Hi, Nunu. And I'm Raffy Manzor, and this is Wait, Don't Do It.
Yeah, okay, it's literally New Year's Day. Happy New Year's, Raffy.
Happy New Year, Nunu.
Well, I just feel like if you're listening to this on, what, the day after New Year's, are y'all still partying? Do y'all have to go to work? Because are you guys going to be hungover, hydrated,
not working pretending? I'm not working, darling. I got shit to do.
You got stuff to do. And that's really the whole theme of 2026. It's really about not dropping the ball, because we are only day one into the year so far. And so many people have dropped the ball already. Okay? Yeah,
are y'all doing dry January at home? Are we doing dry January? Like, is that a thing?
Are we fasting? Are you doing the Daniel fast like in the Bible?
The Ooh. Daniel fast? What's the Daniel fast that's in the Bible? Quoting the New Year.
Educate There's me. Lots of different fasts. You can do the Esther. Wait, you didn't grow up having to do fast? Hold on. Let's break it down.
Because
obviously, I don't know why I asked that. But fasting. Okay, so you never learn. Like, Catholics don't fast. I need to break it. Hold on. Let's really break it down. Y'all don't fast?
Okay, first I'm sure. Don't call me a Catholic. That's weird. I don't like that. The way you say it, I don't like how Christians talk about Catholics. Y'all are fucking weird. Y'all are just so, the way that y'all talk about Catholics is just like so weird. Y'all are the ones that are weirdos. Y'all Christian Pentecostals, Baptists, other Baptists, y'all are weirdos. Y'all could live in a world where y'all kill people and then still be like, well, I'm saved now, so I'm going to heaven. That's not how it works, darling. Y'all are such weirdos.
Yeah, it's much better than going to a box and being like, yeah, I got a new name after communion. girl, it's the same thing.
No,
anyway, no. Let's speak on it. So you didn't have to grow up. There was no fasting mentioned at all in church for you or your family.
We didn't eat meat on Fridays on Easter. So like, okay. And?
Okay.
So fasting, that's stupid.
Okay.
Whoa. Sugars?
No.
Like, y'all don't care about your health?
I want to, first of all, shout out to all my brothers and sisters, and my siblings, you know, in different belief systems who do fast, you know, from Ramadan to...
We're talking about the strives of fasting for learning more. talking about the
they are literally the attacking Christians in Nigeria.
Go ahead, Nunu Minaj. Tell us how important Christianity is and why fasting is important.
I'm just shocked that you didn't have to experience fasting, but I think it would have maybe helped you a little bit more as a person to like go without, you know?
You clearly never went without. So.
I think you need to learn how to go without for the purity of your soul. It really, really, really helps. But there's different fasts, right? So for Christianity, right, there's different fasts that start, and you can do it at any point, but a lot start in the new year, right? So there's different biblical figures, Daniel, Esther, Mark, you know, people that they line up fast with.
Is a Bible name? I had a cousin.
Yes. Oh my God, of course.
Esther is not a Bible name. Esther?
You're going to hell.
My cousin Esther is from the Bible.
I gotta pray because he is trying.
Okay, this is weird. Why are you
back here? You don't want to get me that right.
You are such a weirdo.
I repeat that, child.
And surprise everyone, we have Erica Kirk on the podcast. Because... Dude, Barris just is like so
well, almost girl. Me and Erica Kirk got the same wardrobe. She cut out them sequin blazers, come out with her little doo da da, honey.
No, y'all have the same savior, apparently.
Everywhere. So in other, you know, regular parts of the world, I'm from the South, right, y'all? You know, I'm a simple Southern Christian girl. You know, you do the fast for up to like 30 days. Sometimes it's 14 days. Sometimes it's modified, but that looks like different things. Sometimes for my church, it was always like, you know, you can't eat certain meats, or you couldn't eat after a certain time, or you could only, you couldn't do any like sugars, or it could only be like a bread thing, you know, things, no coffee, that kind of stuff. And you're really only eating out of a short amount of time. And you're, you know, of course, relating it to a scripture or something to help you reflect on the importance of what you have. And da, 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 da. I think that does help, right? It's fun. It's the beginning of the year, helps people with their fitness journey. I always like that, how that kind of fun little jump start.
I think it's fun that you started the day singing America the Beautiful to me, and now you're finishing talking about Christianity. Two times I've had to block you out, honestly. Every word you just said went in one ear and out the other, because you have been on a tirade today, you weirdo.
Who doesn't sing patriotic songs for fun? Does anyone not like America the Beautiful? Speaking of dropping the ball in America, we are about to celebrate America's 250th birthday. And why is this important? This is important because it's going to be dropping like on July 3rd, going into July 4th or whatever, I think. Because returning 250, which is crazy because that's when most empires end. Fun fact. But also, Trump, I guess, and the America First crew wanted to do a second ball drop. I don't know if a ball goes with New York. I mean, first of all, people even celebrate 4th of July. I don't know. It gets weird to me. And like, what are we going to be celebrating?
I mean, he's no saying economy. That we're going to have a new form of the Hunger Games. So like, this is just average.
The Patriot Games, right. Like, what are we doing? This is to be the intro of the Patriot Game. Like, this gives like such dystopian tease. I don't get it.
But you know what? Some people support it, and you know.
But where are you gonna be? I mean, we're gonna be in the city, so I don't know where they're like doing it. Are they gonna drop it like on?
No, we'll do it on Reggaeton Brunch. We'll do it during Reggaeton Brunch. That's what we're doing. We're gonna do 250 brunch celebration. celebrating our 250th brunch that we have done together. We are super excited to have y'all. And yeah, so fun. I don't really like pay attention to what Trump is doing right now, you know, because I want to have fun. We're having fun in 2026. You know, we're going to live, we're going to party through the chaos. This is the roaring 20s still. We're over halfway through the 20s. So, you know, the 30s are going to be a better year for us. But, you know,
the roaring 20s for us. This is what y'all want. Y'all romanticize it all the time. Y'all want Gatsby. Y'all be flappers so bad. Now you're in it. How's it feel?
I'm telling you, Dudu's having a blast in Trump's America.
No, but for real, go back to celebration. Do we still celebrate? Like, when's the last time you felt like you genuinely have celebrated 4th of July in general, even before this year?
I mean, in over 10 years, I don't know. I don't celebrate. As a Latino person from immigrant parents, we never celebrate 4th of July. We just party because it's a day that we have off and that we party outside. We do like a cookout. We don't celebrate America.
I mean, that's what a celebration is, having fun. I don't think I remember anything in my house being like, yeah, America.
No one celebrates America. If you're doing a cookout on 4th of July and you're like, oh my God, I'm so proud to be this fucking country. Like,
proud to be an American.
That's weird. And I just don't relate to that kind of side of the world. But, you know, there probably people do that. But I've never thought of 4th of July.
There was a time where it was fun to be an American. Like, that's not there were.
You were watching fucking, Susan Sarandon commercial. What was her name? Feeding hungry children in Borneo. Like,
Sarah McLachlan.
Is that when you like to be an American? When you saw how other people live?
But you remember
aesthetic? That's the only time I remember Americans being like, oh my God, we're so lucky to be American.
No. Let's bring it up to like that 2013, 2014, 15 era. All that era was fun. Like, you know, you remember Beyonce and Rihanna and all these, like, Lana Del Rey, all these American flag kind of thing. Even Nicki Minaj turned out. I mean, that's when we got all that. I feel like we had a fun time. American flag thing. I mean, who didn't have American flag, you know, shirts and things? Like, we all had that because it was a fun aesthetic and we could make it feel like, you know, the new American.
We just did
that
this year for 2025 with Cowboy Carter. So what's the difference?
No, sure. I feel like it's different because no one was wearing like American flag. We just put like a cowboy hat on.
No, people were definitely still committed to the red, white, and blue.
I saw less of that. I feel like that's just so played out. Like, I do miss that era, like where I could really go into a store, buy it, and it not feel like, you know, this weird thing. But what does freedom mean to you in 2026 as we get to this 250th birthday?
Freedom of choice, freedom to do what I want, freedom to live my life.
I've been doing what I want. Hey, baddies.
Right. Freedom to live my life earnestly, not have to walk outside and see people getting kidnapped or seeing people that should be out fighting a war somewhere, but they're out here walking the streets with 16 of their friends and bunkmates. I feel like that's like the bare minimum we can do so I can start liking this country again. But until then, you know, I'm kind of capped out on ideas of how to make this country better, should I say.
It's such an easy thing by building community. And I think also
y'all need to stop talking to the National Guard like they're friends. I saw people out here just being like, "Happy New Year, bitch." Oh, New News definitely someone says thank you for your services.
Okay.
Thank you for your services. I know you're that kind of girl.
I've this is not a secret. I've always been very anti-military, anti-guns, anti-war. I'm very anti that. I never understood the whole veteran story. Not that I don't have sympathy for like people who like are injured or have done things, but it's just like no one chose to do that. But you know, they are working there, just standing there. So I don't think it's wrong to say Happy New Year in general, but like, I mean, because what do you protest? They'd be like, you made the wrong choice by choosing to join the military so that you can have benefits in your life.
I'm lined outside of a CVS and I said, is this a war zone? Is it safe to go inside? Why are y'all out here standing outside of a CVS?
Just cause.
That's weird.
It is weird.
This is not fucking Area 54, okay?
Stranger Things, honey.
So yeah, when they're gone and back to doing like actual things that probably help this country or protect this country, then we can talk. But right now,
well, I don't know if we're gonna get a resolution to this, but in terms of wait and don't drop the ball, I think you're dropping the ball if you're celebrating history without really acknowledging all the stuff that went before it, all the things that's actively happening, because you can't even celebrate the country or birthday or just being in America without just feeling like you matter and that people don't want to harm you. I think that's really the takeaway. Now, you have been causing some stirs within the DC community. If you don't know, Rafi is the people's voice.
I wouldn't say that. I would say
I quite literally went to a bar yesterday and someone said, "You're famous. I follow you. I see it all the time." And, you know, I wanted to give you your flowers. It's 2026, honey.
I'm just a messy bitch that lives to talk shit about. I just like to talk shit. And I always consider my videos that I make about these gay bars, like, if this was a reality show, this is what my confessionals would look like. And Rush right now is still the center of all the controversy here in DC. It's almost so bad to where, like, Bunker and, you know, all these other, like, crappy bars that are, like, annoying don't seem so bad anymore because Rush is just so disgusting. But this is,
I mean, but you know, you also earn your respect, right?
Huh?
They also earn their respect, you know, just like us or anything. Once you let, you know, do some test of time, you get your respect. Like, it's Bunker been here a while, you get your body shape, right?
Pass. Girl, it's up for me at any point at any time. But Rush, is on to like over two weeks of not paying their employees. And what I've noticed is apparently some of them have been paid. But I question which of those people have been paid, and the large number of Rush employees that have come to me talking about the situation seem to be of color. So that's what I question is, like, I hate when, like, people are like, oh my God, this place is so diverse, da da da. Well, some employers definitely just, like, exploit people pay them less or not pay them at all, but then it still comes across as a diverse space that's accepting and welcoming. And so that's what I definitely see in that space. And the fact that they were open, I don't even think they were open, let's be clear. They must have been open yet, because I DJ'd across the street from them yesterday on New Year's Eve.
Oh, wait, really? You're across from them? Oh, wait, that isn't that same corridor as Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, and I'll let you tell the story, but I forget that Rush is next to Crush, which is across the street from V4, V14. Where were you at?
Nunu Paris, everyone. The people's drag queen from D.C. That lives approximately 5 square miles away from D.C. So, yeah, it was right across the street, and I could tell that, like, Crush was really busy. And that whole corner was busy, but I just don't believe that people were going into Rush.
They had to be. I mean, people always go somewhere in D.C.
But you don't understand. Like, I genuinely do not think that they're making their money back. I don't think that they're expecting to stay open past March. I definitely think, and then I do think that this employer is exploiting people who are either running up the suit, like the lawsuit. If you're working at Rush right now, you're just running up the lawsuit. You're just being, okay, I worked X amount of hours for free, and he never paid me. That's what you're doing right now.
No, right, right.
Do I think you're ever going to get a paycheck from that man? No.
No.
You might get a class action lawsuit, but I wouldn't say that it's giving, like, you're going to actually be paid. But it's really funny because it just shows how, apparently the DJs that they booked, obviously one's from Chicago, but the other one is a DJ, I've never heard from him, but he lives in DC, and he's apparently problematic, and people say that he's like, is this messy?
I don't think it's messy, but I do think what you're highlighting is something that is really apparent, right? And has been echoed amongst a lot of people, especially when the main people affected, Cake, Pop in DC, who had been promoting the bar, and also been the workers affected. But what we have seen here is a community of people who maybe know that this manager and this DJ and all these people are shady and have these past and have these weird things, but, like, no one was saying anything. And I was very interested in the silence around that, because I feel like, at what point does the silence just become harmful and disrespectful? And you know what I mean?
Well, like I said, this person one of the DJs does is a proud Trump. What's Trump dissociative disorder? He says that he has
the Trump derangement syndrome.
Which, can you explain to that, to the audience what that is? I don't fully know.
I can.
That
you know, you and your hate for him is so funny to me.
Who, Trump?
Yeah.
I hate him so much. I don't pay attention to that.
No, so of course, as you know, we a few weeks ago, unfortunately, horrifically, Rob Reiner and his wife were murdered by their son, who had struggled with addiction. So in response, Trump on Truth Social tweeted out that, you know, Rob Reiner had Trump derangement syndrome and he made very bad movies and really didn't, you know, just things that are disrespectful to anyone, but of course, someone who was just horrifically murdered. So Trump derangement syndrome is just this. According to Trump, right, this idea who people who are obsessed with Trump, bringing down Trump, you know, just can't do anything but talk about Trump. Which it sounds like that's more scraps Trump, since he only talks about himself.
So apparently that person has that or whatever. But people in the comments were like, oh yeah, he's going to be fighting. He has a reputation, da, 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 da. And I'm like, these bars will book that person. But mm-hmm. a lot of these bars have openly said that they're not booking me or working with me because of how messy I can be or my attitude or my energy. And I think there's only one thing that's separating a person like me and that person, and it's the color of our skin. And so I really think that that's just, it goes to speak on like, A, our community definitely does keep weirdos' secrets way too long. And then to add to the sauce to that, when they get hurt by that person, they're surprised. Or they're like, oh my God, how could they ever have done this? Well, the writing was on the wall, darling. And it was... apparently Jackson, this owner of Brush, has had like a history with not being trustworthy. A lot of people had been burned from him. So to the point where in their frequently asked questions, someone had asked the question, is this a scam? It was already circulated in like questionable activity. Like Rush was already painted with that brush. And so the fact that now people are like, oh my God, I can't believe this man did us like this. Well, why did you trust him? Because would you have trusted me if I had that level of reputation? That's what I want to know.
I wonder why this one hit such a nerve in the DC nightlife community. People,
well, because he's a pretty little white boy that should not be acting like this. That's why I think that's why people like really feel some type of way. It's like,
fuck it.
And then it becomes like an open format of like what I notice about certain people when it comes to twink white men or any sort of white men they want to fuck is that they really want to fuck them at first, but then once they don't like them or once they realize they're like insufferable or they don't fuck with them, they will put all their hatred and resentment towards white people on this man, and they would hate them. They'll like,
yes, clock they, in.
They'll like be like, oh my God, this is why white people are so bad. And I'm like, well, you're the blinders that you had when you first met this person, because you're like, oh my God, he's a cute white man, and that's what allowed you to get to know this
literally
man in a person. So like, if you just, you know, have that discernment in the early on and don't get, you know, snake danced into liking white men like this, then you wouldn't have this problem. But usually you can see, snake you dance. Can feel, you can. I've always like, especially after I had my best, I had one white man that was my best friend for like 3 years, 2 years maybe. I felt like 3 years. And that was the only white man that had me on blinders, because then I realized, although this person was never my friend, they were just, you know, a shady white man. And after you get me once, you never get me again. And so
I know,
and
they became a DJ at Bunker. No, I'm just kidding. I do want to know, though. I do want to know, Raffy. What does accountability actually look like in nightlife? Because we have, you know, the Rush Relief page for their workers and the donations, which is really great for community support. You know, we have these think pieces, we have all this outrage, but like, what do y'all want to happen? What does accountability look like in nightlife or in this situation like this?
Well, at this point, the only accountability I see, usually I would say, like, you know, boycott the place. Well, that does affect the staff members that just actually worked there and like said yes to a gig that they didn't know about the politics of the location, that affects them. But ultimately, big overwhelming ultimately is getting these places shut down. Like, these places don't need to be operating.
The resolution is fire them, get rid of them.
Well, gotcha. No, like, Rush is not going to pay these people anyways. Again, like I said before, these people are going to get their money somehow, and it's through a lawsuit. And to me, it's like, you got to expose these people. And then when it comes to working with them again, don't. There is still one bar owner that, I mean, I don't have to say his name, that owns a sports bar, quote unquote, whatever that place is, that is a baseball position. And that man is notoriously shady, and people continuously talk shit about him. And for you that don't know who I'm talking about, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the owner of Pitchers. People don't like him. People do not like to associate themselves with him. However, when it comes to getting booked at that location, they will say yes and bat an eyelash. And so to me, I'm like, when you see these kinds of people operating their businesses like this and you continuously work with them, are you really just, you know, you're really just, you know, keeping their lights on. You're keeping their lights on. So I do think just how these bars aim to suffocate the culture out of DC and the gay spaces, we need to suffocate their pockets. Like, that's basically bottom line, what you need to do. There are so many other gay spaces now, especially more than ever in DC, that you can go to and not feel like you're, you know, you're just a number on the wall or a tally number. There's not a lot, but there are those options. So that's why I say, I think there's four too many bars now that are owned by these weird white gay bar owners that really don't want black and brown money or black and brown people in their spaces. They just want our money, and they don't want to have to work for the trust. They don't want to have to work for respect. They just think it's our earned. If you don't like it, you can shut the fuck up. So that's ultimately.
Well, I guess the resolution for this is, wait, don't drop the ball by ignoring the people who make your business run.
Just be real. I don't even say,
pay your workers.
I'm not even acting like I'm out here being like, do, 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 do. But you have to just be real. Like, open your fucking eyes. Like, be discerning. That's all I have to say, is have a level of discernment when it comes to working and who you work with and who you go out with and, like, who you align yourself with. Have a level of discernment. Who you book. All that matters. All that matters now. Okay? Are you booking someone because you want to fuck them? Are you booking them because you think that, you know, oh, well, at that point, you know, what is it?
Wow, wow, wow. Well, I feel like that brings me to another money, something where money is involved. We have Beyonce's billionaire status. What does that give?
Oh my God, you just picked every like subject that I'm going to have to be a negative Nancy on today, didn't you?
Oh no.
You love painting me as to a negative Nancy, but you know what I'm going to say about this.
I mean, obviously, I get for me, say it about, you know,
I'm going to go ahead and say that because people are going to be like, oh, you have a problem because Beyonce's a billionaire. No, I've never once celebrated a billionaire becoming a billionaire. Never. Even if Bad Bunny himself announced he was a billionaire tomorrow, I'd be like, okay. Slow clap. Like, we're not supporting billionaires. I don't care if you're a billionaire. You have more leverage in a table that I can't sit at. Okay. Like, okay, I don't give a fuck.
So, if you don't know, Beyonce has officially entered billionaire status, which is under question because 2 years ago in 2018, Matthew Knowles reported that she was a billionaire. And then, of course, in her song, she says, was better than one billionaire, too, referencing herself. But this year, Forbes declared it. So I guess, quote unquote, it's official. So as Raffi has shown, there's a lot of reactions from celebration to critique. Why does this milestone matter? I do think there's something, you know, about black success, black female success in America historically, right? It's kind of it's still something, right? But we also know capitalism and just how it involves murder, essentially. It involves death. It involves greed. It involves evil, honestly. And how do you wrestle with those things at the same time? You know, Act 3 is coming this year, Divas, and y'all all are going to listen. So now what?
Yeah.
And you all contributed her to become a billionaire.
And that's what we also have to, I think 2026 is about too, is we may have to like not buy in to the consumerism this year. Like I went to go see, this is coming from someone who saw Renaissance, life changing. But then I saw Cowboy Carter, and Cowboy Carter was a great experience, but it was not to my, like, I definitely thought Renaissance was definitely like more of a transformative experience,
yeah,
in hindsight, than, yeah, Cowboy Carter. So to me, am I like hell bent on getting these next round of tickets? I don't know. Simply because, am I gonna buy into? Okay, Nunu will be there.
No, we're all gonna be there. I mean, it's not get crazy.
Nunu, you'll be there. I don't think I'll be there, honestly. Because at the end of the day, like. I mean, depending on how I like this album, but at the end of the day, I definitely think, like, you know, like at some point we just have to hit these people where they hurt. If there was a huge wave of people actually not going to these concerts, I would definitely like agree.
There's so many think pieces on Romeo and,
first of all,
Prince Royce.
I want everyone to know.
Should y'all cancel them?
You could.
And again, I feel like it goes back to, are we not allowing certain people to access success, even though traditionally we would like to see the Latino men go on a world tour and make money like, you know, everyone else, right? However,
Aventura, or Romeo Santos, I should say. If y'all are surprised that man is a Trumper, y'all don't have...
Y'all know he was.
Y'all don't have Puerto Rican Pentecostal family. Y'all don't have that kind of man in y'all's family. I have that kind of man in my family. And when I heard his anti-abortion song, where it's called... where he's pretty much saying that you're a fucking slut and you should have thought more if you... before getting pregnant. And this child is like... there's a little bachata song of this man...
oh, we're playing it next time.
There's a bachata song of him scolding a woman for getting an abortion. And when I heard that song, and I've still heard of this song, I knew for a fact that this man is just the worst of the worst. And also, mind you, I also believe he's a closeted homosexual, because there's no way he discovered that falsetto voice by just accessing his soul. Someone accessed his prostate, and that's how he came up with the voice that he has now. So I personally feel like he's been a chop for me. But it's just these things where, okay, you know how like people are not wanting to play Nicki Minaj at the club right now? How do I play reggaeton? Like, I'm going to play reggaeton brunch now and I can't play an Aventura song? That's so fucking hard. And like yesterday, I tested the waters. This is why I'm saying Nicki Minaj cannot get away with anything versus what... like other people can get away with
it,
because I played Aventura. I played Aventura yesterday. I played Obsession, like obviously the OG classic. But honey, the younger, and I knew the girls that would know about the beef with him, they were still singing that song. They were still over here. Chris Brown, if you play Chris Brown song right now, people are going to be singing that song. So
correct.
Are we going to stop playing Aventura then? Are we going to stop playing Aventura? That's all. That's my question for the room.
It's not on my playlist.
It's never been on your playlist, darling. It's never been on your playlist. It's never been on your playlist. Aventura. You thought that was a yogurt flavor. Oh my God. Velveeta.
So who do we allow to win publicly?
I think men get away with a lot more than women obviously get away with. And when you add race to that, obviously. But it literally comes down to standing your ground. Like but you see now people are saying, well, I'm not going to go see this concert. And he finally came out with a statement, Romeo did, and be like, oh, you know, if y'all know who I am, you know where I would stand. Bitch, That's not what you literally said. You literally said it's a complicated issue. Why is it not a complicated issue anymore? Why are you choosing to be clearer now? And to me, that also
shows... Same thing Sydney Sweeney did.
How disconnected people like Nicki Minaj and Romeo are to the people that support them. Because if you really were to sit down... And, for example, when Rush offered me the DJ gig, that's like me accepting that DJ gig and still expecting people to be like, oh, you're great. You totally stand on your word. You're for the people. You care about people. And then me actively being a scab and saying yes to that job. What does that people just don't really think. And I think that's what I realize is it just shows that why are we supporting these people? Because they really are not for us. No shade.
I definitely think, and again, I would put Sydney Sweeney in this category too, as someone who was like, oh, I'll speak about what I want to. And then all the sales went down. And I'm like, now she wants to speak about it. She wants to be likable. She wants to be more present and, you know, talking about why, what jeans really meant to her and, you know, go back to a different style now that she sees the money's not coming in. But again, I think being a woman, I think people forget they're still themselves at the end of the day. You're still a Latino. You're still a woman. You're still a Black woman. You know, you're still these things that white America, capitalism, is not going to ever really embrace. So the resolution to the situation, trying to figure out wait, don't do what? Wait, don't drop the ball by resenting someone else's wins or status and internalizing it for your own and just really examine your own values and go with what aligns with. If you want to support these people, support them. If you don't want to support them, then you don't have to do that. So I think it's definitely about aligning yourself and keeping
Gallota, La Latina, Mimi Perez, La Gallota, pa.
Y'all know what that means. It is time for our game. Wait, don't do that in 2026. The speed round, Diva. So we're doing a speed round called Wait, Don't Do That in 2026. We're going to name something that people are absolutely still doing and tell you what not to do quickly, honestly, and because it's Raffy, aggressively. So let me tell you the rules. No over-explaining. No over-explaining, Raffy. 10 seconds max per response. No repeats, okay? No repeats. I need you to say it like you mean it. And bonus points if it hurts someone's feelings a little.
Okay. Okay.
All right. First up, dating and relationships. Wait, don't what in 2026?
Settle for less.
Okay. Why? What does that mean?
Don't let them confuse you. Don't let them be weird. Voice your feelings. And if once you voice your feelings, you feel like you weren't met where you are, keep it moving, darling.
Yeah. I feel like my rule for dating relationships is don't wait years without a ring because you look goofy. And it's no shade. That's just how I feel. I love y'all. I have a ring. Next category, friendships and community. I'll go first. So what would I say? Way don't think your friends are going to be the same person forever.
Okay.
I think that a lot of us think, okay, I'm friends and then that's it. And I'm like, okay, you still got to put in work. We're still going to grow. Things are going to change. So you got to be ready to, you know, adapt. And if that's not for you, then maybe that friend's not for you. And that's okay. Keep it moving.
Don't talk shit about the people that you love. Love them unconditionally. Don't talk shit.
I love talking shit about everyone, though.
Well.
Okay, what about as it relates to work and money?
Don't quit that job yet. No, actually, I'll say, wait, don't stay in that job. Honestly, I got laid off earlier this or in November, and I am still, I've always lived like I always had multiple jobs. I've never just had one job. And let me tell you, that has saved me day in and day out. I'm still able to pay my bills. I have not tapped into my savings, knock on wood. And it definitely has come from the fact that I have multiple sources of income, and I definitely used everything in that, every mechanism to stay above water. So don't be afraid. If you feel like you need to stay at a job, really like count your, like I, your mental health is not worth a job that is toxic ultimately. So wait, don't be afraid to leave that job, honestly.
Okay. Okay. I think it goes
unless you really need the money, but like
I think my next one goes with like kind of both categories with friendships and work. I just feel like don't protect people who keep embarrassing you, who keep letting you down, who keep showing you they're not for you. I feel like that works in the workplace. Next category, dating and not dating relationships, Lord. Social media and internet behavior. Are we finally tired of wait, don't post yourself crying on the internet?
Wait, don't post yourself crying on the internet. And wait, don't post something that's not funny. Like,
oh,
if you're going to post something, make me laugh or something. Make it engaging. Have some thought behind it. I hate just stupid videos. Next.
I think I saw a video of a girl crying outside of a Taylor Swift concert when she sung the song that quote unquote saved her life, and then she like is crying uncontrollably with her.
Actually, I don't mind that. That's like funny. That could be funny, but like don't put yourself like crying. Like, oh, guys, the guy that I'm talking to just like broke up with me. And also remember that one video of that girl who had like a boa constrictor and it died, and she was like literally crying with its dead boa constrictor in her arms. Yeah, that needs to stop. That's weird. You set up a camera and recorded yourself crying about your dead snake. That's embarrassing. Like, okay, how about that? Don't post anything crying if you have to set the camera up. If you have to set a camera up and then cry,
like if it's not naturally coming as you're, you know, doing the video, then like
maybe it has to be a real moment. Like if you're crying, if you're like standing, walking, oh my God, something just happened to you raw. Yeah, I want to see that.
I just feel like people don't really go back and use those videos for like any kind of healing. I feel like, you know what I mean?
But I've never seen you cry. So like you would never do that. I would actually be so entertained by a video of you crying. Like I would be like, oh my God, that's what she looks like. I
definitely cry for my acting reels, my self tapes. You know, for all my theater opportunities. I think oversharing online and then getting mad when people react, that was like a weird theme of 2025. Like people would just like say these things and complain about their life and then get mad when people had like a reaction to them. I was like, why would you go on the internet to vent? Do you not have like friends or something? A therapist? I just feel like the internet is not the place for venting.
Yes, yes.
Not in a format of making a video like a reel or a TikTok. I just feel like that's a place of showing something, sharing
and
ideas.
Also, don't be afraid to post thirst traps. More thirst traps in 2026, please.
I agree. Heated rivalry has gotten y'all ready for 2026. So just show off all your
First of all, Nunu Paris, let's finish the podcast with this. Nunu Paris thinks that the sibling rivalry cast is unattractive, and I think
the heated rivalry cast
is unattractive. Nunu Paris, please explain yourself.
I think I look for attraction in ways that would book multiple campaigns,
and they have released, and they have
as a result of the show. I'm just saying
so what's correct. What do you
sometimes
saying?
Nepotism helps, fame helps.
No,
I like it natural. You know what I mean? But they're handsome people. They have agreeable. Nunu,
to be real, Nunu chose to watch Avatar: Water and Ice,
and, Fire and Ash,
and instead of watching Heated Rivalry this year, I just want to explain that. I just want that to be acknowledged.
Which franchise crossed over 2 billion already? All right.
Which one has been a thing for over 12 years but only has two movies and no one can even tell you about that movie? The movie about the blue people.
No one can tell you about it. The movie about the gay hockey players. Imagine if people reduced
everyone's talking
our
about
culture.
Everyone's
to that.
Talking about Heated Rivalry. Everyone's talking about Heated Rivalry. Clap if you're watching Heated Rivalry. Comment below if you're watching Heated Rivalry.
I do like the funny videos when women are like, oh, you got to make your man watch this if he's not toxic. Like, this is what romance is like.
Yeah, first of all.
You just want to give a big shout out to our friend up in New York, Mayor Zohar Mamdani, who was sworn in on New Year's Day. Again, this is a historic moment. And we also have to realize that it's more than just a fandom, okay? Do not wait, don't drop the ball by treating politics like a fandom. This is real life and real policy. So I like that we're excited.
He's a cutie patootie.
He's cute, right? Do all that. But pay attention. Stay engaged. Hold leaders accountable, please, because we have to make this place livable again, truly, in 2026. That's where I'm at.
And it's always going to be fuck you, Deborah Messing. Okay? Fuck you, Deborah Messing.
What are you looking in? What are you looking forward to in 2026, Rafi?
This is going to be a hoe year for me. I can tell already. I can feel it. It's going to be a hoe year. So just warning y'all.
Clinic Bill can feel it.
Warning y'all. Rafi's going to be hoeing. Don't be surprised. If I'm making out with your man, surprising. I did make out with someone in a relationship that apparently was not in an open relationship. I just found that out after the fact this year. So
no one's in an open relationship until they are.
So let's just be clear here. Hide your mans. Hide your, maybe even hide your wife. I'll kiss your girlfriend. I am going to be ruining homes in 2026.
I just want to continue to build, grow as an actor, as an actress. Oh, it's gender neutral now. Oh my God, you're so late. Oh my God. Actress. You're still doing it by gender. Ew. Someone still believes in. Get ready, y'all. It's going to be a ride. And with that being said, we are riding to a new location for the next 2 months at Whitlow's DC. Make sure you still buy your tickets for Reggaeton Brunch, who will be our new home at Whitlow's DC, right down the block from El Rey.
So yes, El Rey will be closing for 2 months during the winter. So we will be hosting our Reggaeton Brunch down the street at Whitlow's. On January 17th and our Super Bowl pregame party on February 8th. But you can also catch me and Nunu working lights at Con Accento in January 17th. We're super excited. We have a great cast for y'all. So all that information is in our link in the bio. You can always check our Instagrams for our nightlife dates. Nunu, do you have any performances coming up?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can catch me at Reggaeton Brunch, and you can catch me March 5th through the 7th at JR's for Defrosted Part 2. I'm so excited to be able to bring Elsa and Frozen things back to the DC community for another show. I keep forgetting. Oh my God, another show. I'm so fortunate, and I'm fortunate to be here with you, Rafi, and reminding you all, wait. Do not drop the ball in 2026.
Don't drop the ball. Just let your balls drop into someone's mouth.
Exactly. America's getting two balls this year. We hit puberty. Yay. We'll see you next time.
You can find me at Wait Rafi and Reggaeton Brunch DC.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the episode. Make sure to follow at Wait Rafi and at Nunu Paris for all updates, especially about Reggaeton Brunch and when you're going to party with us. We'll see you there. Mwah.